यत् संश्रयाद द्रुपद गेहम उपागतानां राज्ञां स्वयंवरं मुखे स्मर स्मर दुर्मदानां तेजो हृत खलु मयाभिहतश्च मत्स्य सञ्जीकृतेन धनुषाधिगता च कृष्णा यत्संशयाद द्रुपदगेहमुपागतानां राज्ञां स्वयंवरमुखे स्मरदुर्मदानां तेजो हृत खलु मयाभिहतश्च मत्स्य सञ्जीकृतेन धनुषाधिगता च कृष्णा यत्संशयाद द्रुपदगेहम् उपागतानां राज्ञां स्वयंवरमुखे स्मर दुर्मदानां तेजो हृतं खलु मयाभिहतश्च मत्स्य सञ्जीकृतेन धनुषाधिगता च कृष्णा
Mataji's word-to-word meaning, yad, by whose merciful, samshrayat, by strength, drupadageham, in the palace of King Drupad, upagatanam, all those assembled, Radnyam of the princess, Swayamvara Mukhe, on the occasion of the selection of the bridegroom, Smara Durmadanam, all lusty in thought, Tejah, power, Rutam, vanquished, khalo, as it were, maya, by me, abhihataha, pierced, cha, also, matsyaha, the fish target, sanjikritena, by equipping the bow, Dhanusha, by that bow also, Adhigata, gained, cha, also, Krishna, Draupadi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Only by His merciful strength, was I able to vanquish all the lusty princes assembled at the palace of King Drupad for the selection of the bridegroom. With my bow and arrow, I could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hand of Draupadi. Purport. Draupadi was the most beautiful daughter of King Drupad, and when she was a young girl, almost all the princesses desired her hand. But Drupad Maharaj decided to hand over his daughter to Arjun only, and therefore contrived a peculiar way. There was a fish hanging on the inner roof of the house under the protection of a wheel. The condition was that out of the princely order, one must be able to pierce the fish's eye through the wheel protection, and no one would be allowed to look up at the target. On the ground, there was a water pot in which the target and the wheel were reflected, and one had to fix his aim towards the target by looking at the trembling water in the pot. Maharaj Drupad well knew that only Arjun or alternately Krishna or Karna could successfully carry out the plan. But still he wanted to hand his daughter to Arjun. And in the assembly of princely order, when Drushtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, introduced all the princesses to his grown-up sister, Karna was also present in the game. But Draupadi tactfully avoided Karna as the rival of Arjun, and she expressed her desires to her brother Drushtadyumna that she was unable to accept anyone who was less than a Kshatriya. The Vaishyas and Shudras are less important than the Kshatriyas. Karna was known as the son of carpenter, a Shudra. So Draupadi avoided Karna by this plea. When Arjun, in the dress of a poor Brahman, pierced the difficult target, everyone was astonished, and all of them, especially Karna, offered a stiff fight to Arjun. But as usual, by the grace of Lord Krishna, he was able to emerge very successful in the princely fight and thus gain the valuable hand of Krishna or Draupadi. Arjun was lamenting, remembering the incident in the absence of the Lord, by whose strength only he was so powerful. Om Anyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrunda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So today we are continuing our narration. The chapter is entitled Pandavas Retire Timely. And the previous chapter was titled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. So in this narration, in the first canto, many things are happening. Lord Krishna was offered prayers by Queen Kunti, Lord entered Dwarka, etc., etc. And now here in Hastinapur, Lord Krishna has disappeared. And hearing that news, the Pandavas also decide to give up their kingdom and go to Himalayas. to achieve perfection in their life. So actually this is a topic, no exact topic was Brihad Bhagavatamrita first part, which are the topic has two parts, Brihad Bhagavatamrita first part, that which are the devotees who are most dear to Krishna and who have got the most mercy. And certainly part two was Gop Kumar's story, which is the best place to perform this pure devotion. All wonderful speakers and devotees are sitting over here, Pavaneshwar Prabhu, Balaram Shakti Prabhu, Rasikacharya Prabhu. So I will try some tiny effort to speak in front of all of you great devotees. So today, here, Arjun is in the mood that only by Krishna's mercy or merciful strength, to be specific, yet sanshayad, he is very specific, Krishna's merciful strength. Arjun is saying, I could defeat so many kings and others and get the hand of Draupadi. So sometimes, or actually we have to exactly, maybe I will try my small effort, what a little brain I have, to figure out what is the exact mercy of Lord Krishna. Because few days back, on WhatsApp, but by a devotee, a good devotee I saw on video, he was explaining this point of mercy of Krishna from one point of view. Because he says, generally, in our life, we say that, oh, Krishna is merciful because I got good marks. Or Krishna is merciful because my business is successful. So point he was making, that devotee, was actually this is not Krishna's mercy. This is happening by our own karma. Anything good and bad happening in our life is happening by our own karma. But today's shloka, Arjuna is saying, by Krishna's merciful strength, I could defeat the other so many king princesses. And other places saying, I could defeat the enemies in the Mahabharata war. So, we have to exactly figure out what's happening. Here he is saying that this is by our own karma. So, by our own karma, Arjun won the war. Or what is Krishna's grace? Or what is not Krishna's grace? So, it's a very difficult topic as I was preparing for it. But what are a few points? I'm going to just mention the points. Maybe more sharper devotees after the class can present the conclusions. So basically, when something materially good happens, especially as per our desires, we think it's Krishna's grace. We get some good house, good job, money, beautiful husband or wife or something, or our children does good in exam or whatever it may be. And we think, oh, Krishna's grace, Krishna is so merciful. Guruji, Krishna is merciful, I got 95% marks or something like that. Some other devotee, not devotee, a person, human being, if he was expecting to fail in 5 subjects, and suppose he fails only in 3, he says, oh, Krishna is so merciful. I failed only in 3 subjects where I was expecting to fail in 5 subjects. So it's difficult to, people think this is Krishna's mercy. And someone on the other hand may also think, why Krishna gave me only 97%, why not 99%? They may be complaining that way also, because I was expecting. So whether it is happening as per own karma or is it Krishna's mercy, let's find out what are the points. Yes, there is some angle of karma into all. Actually, I can say there is all angles. Generally in material activities, there is more of our karmic actions, but Krishna can use the karmic actions as his mercy instrument. That way also we can think. Our own karma, we get good marks or bad marks, or good money or bad money, but Krishna can use our own karma to give us the mercy also. Like in one thing, he can do both the things. We can take it that way also. But actually, now here, before we move ahead, I would like to tell one real incident. Very unique incident. That happened that happened 10, 12 years back, but I came to know only 2 days back. So Maybe all of you can comment whether it is Krishna's mercy or not. Or whether it is by chance or coincidence. What happened was, as you know, I preach in Lodare also, engineering college. So around 10-12 years back, there are a few devotees who are staying. And one of the room partners, he used to ridicule these devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness. And he used to ridicule them and criticize the Krishna bhakti, etc., etc. Not in a very vehement way, but yes, in some way. Was not that way, antagonist, but yes, some way he could ridicule what you are doing and criticize the devotees also. So this all happened 10-12 years back. I came to know only 2 days back. Then what happened? All the friends, the devotee and his friends passed out of college. And then around 8-10 months passed, this boy who used to criticize was not getting a job. And his friends had got some sort of job to start with, get some experience and like that. So 9 months passed, he was not getting a job. So some other, he felt in the heart that because I had criticized the devotees, my friends, and ridiculed them, I am not getting the job. So he asked forgiveness from his friends that I used to ridicule them, please forgive me. And then that day, we all have email and then there is password for the email ID. So that day he changed his password of email ID to Hare Krishna. And that very day he got 3 emails of job offer. So I don't tell that if you put password Hare Krishna, you'll get 3 job offers per day. No, that may not happen every time. Or I don't know when it will happen again. But that time it happened. So he thought, oh, dekho, I put the Hare Krishna password, I asked for forgiveness. And then I got 3 job offers. And suddenly, he had no offer for 8 months. He got 3 offers in one day. He took one. I don't know on what criteria, but he took one job offer. He got the job, he went, started doing the job. And this devotee, who was his room partner and he used to ridicule, this job where he took was nearby our Lonere base, not very close, but maybe 20-25 kilometers. So this devotee, who was his room partner, also wanted to stay in the base and get some job nearby. So he got a job and helped his friend, who was the room partner, to get the job. So his desire also fulfilled. To stay in the base and do the job. This is extra part of the story. But the story or the question is, whether it was actually Krishna's mercy or whether it was coincidence or whether it was repentance or whether such repentance and just putting Hare Krishna as the password of email can give jobs and whether it is Krishna's mercy or not. Yes, Puruji, any comments? Analytical scholarly bodies, maybe you can speak up. So this is a unique incidence. Whether it will happen again, if someone does like that, then everyone will start putting, who is unemployed will start putting his email password as Hare Krishna. So whether they will get jobs. So I would say it's very difficult for me to exactly judge what happened. Whether it was Krishna's mercy, or whether it was coincidence, means his own karma coming to him. And coincidentally, both things happen independently, but at the same time. Independently, his karma was to, he would get job that day. And also he thought of repentance and asking for forgiveness on the same day. They are both independent events and they happen at the same time. Or maybe as I was saying, that Krishna can use our own karma to put his mercy. And astonishingly, his younger brother, who also got the admission in the same college, and he has told his brother to go and join the base. So it's very difficult to say what happened 12 years back. But what I can say is, see, I personally being little bit from more of analytical and logical side of thought, generally I don't take all these things as Krishna's mercy. I'm not saying I'm correct, but I'm just saying that is my thought process. At the most, it can be coincidence, or at the most, it's more of a karma from my point of thought. But there can be some little element, as I said, Krishna can make both things join together. So let's go further. and try to analyze what is Krishna's mercy, because there are so much variety of, like, there can be some person who is not getting the job for years together. He is a very sincere devotee also. This person was not a devotee. He was just a person with all material thoughts and desires, but he repented for his criticism. So actually, there can be various, also one point we have to note, that there can be various levels of Krishna's mercy also. One level of Krishna's mercy is you get a job. That may be. Here we'll come back to this purport where Arjuna is saying, because of Krishna's merciful strength, I could defeat those warriors. Yes, generally in the war, Arjuna was victorious, except that in the last few, where those few people stole away Krishna's wives and like that. Yeah, they may be Krishna again, but at least Arjuna was defeated externally. Generally, he was victorious. But still, Arjuna could not get the kingdom for many years, even though he was victorious for something or other. So, Arjuna winning in so many wars, was it Krishna's mercy? Or Arjuna and Pandavas getting defeated in the, the dice game, was that Krishna's mercy? Or that was, because Pandavas were defeated, that was not Krishna's mercy. And this was Krishna's mercy. He won the war, or he won so many wars against that Drupad and those who stole his cows and like that. Or what exactly was happening? So basically, we have to also analyze the consciousness of Arjuna, which I will come to at a little later stage. Why Arjuna is saying that Krishna's merciful strength. So yes, but if I was just today like to, maybe if I had spoken this point before here in this place, I'm sorry for it. I don't remember. Let us analyze the five generations of Pandavas. And discuss. You all know the stories. You all know what happened in their life. But just recap it. Beginning from Bhishma, then Pandu Maharaj, then Pandavas, then Abhimanyu, and then Parikshit Maharaj. So all those five generations in less or more details are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedic scriptures. And all, I don't know exactly if Pandu Maharaj is mentioned as a pure devotee, but certainly he was a great personality. But everyone else is mentioned as a pure devotee. Pandavas, Bhishma, Abhimanyu and Parikshit Maharaj. And we can say at least Pandu was a great devotee. Without, I can't say not, yes, but he was there. He was very in the Krishna's Leela. We see all five of them had unique ups and downs in their lives. All five of them. Different ups and downs. Different challenges, different defeats, different victories. And more so, differently they left their body. All five of them. We know Bhishma. He was one way, that way, renowned warrior. His guru was none other than Parshuram, son of Ganga. Such a bar, such a guru, such a strength. Going to be next king, Yuvraj, prince regent. Everything perfect. And circumstantially, he was not actually needed to do that way. His father was not forcing on him. Still, out of the respect for his father, or to allow his father's desires to be fulfilled, he took the vows of giving the kingdom and not getting married, and took the vow of serving whoever is sitting on the Hastinapur throne. And then, he was such a great devotee, but he had to fight against the Pandavas, whom he loved, against Krishna. We can say it was in Viryaras, but still, externally he had to fight against, against those who are on the path of Dharma. So we have to be very, very careful. Sometimes, apparently we may see a pure devotee, even Vritrasura, that way. We should not act that way, saying, oh, we are advanced devotee and we can act on the side of Adharma. But sometimes we can see, for some circumstances, in some situations, some devotee might be apparently acting on the side of Adharma. We have the great examples of Vritrasura, who was fighting on the side of demons, he was the leader of demons, killing and trampling upon devatas, who are suras, devotees of Krishna. Here Bhishma actually forcefully kill, shooting arrows to kill Pandavas. And if that day by trick, if Krishna wouldn't have stolen those 5 arrows, Bhishma was bound by his words to kill Pandavas. So he would have killed the Pandavas. He did not take the vow just like that. Okay, by these 5 arrows, I will kill Pandavas. He would have. But Krishna stole the 5 arrows is a different story. But if that wouldn't have happened, Pandavas would have been killed. So, such a... And then he had Ichchamaran. So, unique. We don't see Pandu has Ichchamaran or Pandava has Ichchamaran or Parikshit or Abhimanyu. So, everyone is unique. And all are great devotees or pure devotees of Krishna. All suffered differently. All had reversals in their life differently. All had successes also differently. And all died differently. And here, so we say pure devotees, they die wonderful way. And Krishna comes in front of them. Like he came in front of Bhishma. And before death, at the age of 125, when Bhishma was a very strong man, but for us we can think, Bhishma was lying in the open battlefield in Kurukshetra, which becomes too cold in December and January. Super, super, super cold. With all the arrows pierced, he was lying there. So, is that Krishna's mercy? That you lie in the open battlefield, in the most cold season of the year, in very cold areas like Kurukshetra, with whole body pierced with arrows? Difficult to say whether that is Krishna's mercy or not, from our materially conditioned mind. But that is Bhishma. And then Pandu Maharaj, he made some mistake of shooting an arrow towards the sage who was intimate with his wife, thinking that sage to be a deer. He was out on hunting, and he gets a curse that whenever you become intimate with your wife to procreate, you will die. What an odd curse for a great person. Son of Satyavati, father of Pandavas, to have so unique problem. Just think if someone has this problem in their life. Whenever they are going to meet with their wife for procreation, they are going to die. It's such a difficult situation. But Pandu had that and he died. He married, but he could not procreate, meet their wives intimately. But one day in the forest, he procreated and then he died. Again, a unique death, unique life, unique challenges. So, what is Krishna's mercy? Pandu's life is Krishna's mercy, or Bhishma's life is Krishna's mercy. And you know the life of Pandavas. Kunti Mani summarizes all the difficulties. Fire and the poison and Vishan Mahagne and Hidimba and the war and injustices in their home. Father orphaned in the... Like before birth, they were orphaned. Pandavas had orphaned birth. Pandu Maharaj died and the Pandavas were born. So orphaned birth, tried to be thrown away. All the rights of inheritance of kingdom was attempted to be taken away. Tried to be killed when the boys were 4 years old by giving poison. So all had unique challenges. Then Vanvas and Ajnatvas. And they get a kingdom, but all of the relatives are killed. Dhritarashtra leaves home. And then after ruling for a few years, 36 years, they get this news. Krishna has left the planet. So, what is mercy in Pandava's life? Yes, they got success, they got kingdom also, and they got reversals also. But again, a unique life. Bhishma different, Pandu different, Pandu Maharaj different, Pandava's different. And then Abhimanyu. Okay, how did Pandavas leave their body after ruling for 36 years? Neither like Pandu Maharaj they left the body, neither like Bhishma. But another unique way. So devotees can be very unique. All are pure devotees. And they can be very unique. They can have unique ups and downs in their lives. And they can leave their body in a unique way. Did Pandavas live on the battlefield with arrows pierced or like Pandu? No, they voluntarily went to Himalayas. As was the standard process. They went to Himalayas and one by one thinking Krishna, they left their bodies. So that was Pandavas. And then Abhimanyu, completely different. Such a fortune. Father is Arjun, friend of Krishna, the best devotee. Mother is Subhadra, the sister of Krishna, the dear sister of Krishna. And very glorious, very powerful. The strength of Arjun is represented in Abhimanyu. Had good training of archery and everything. And then, at his young age, when most probably he would have become the next king. And then, again, a unique story told by His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu many years back, but I remember it just went into my consciousness. He says, just few months before the war, Abhimanyu and Uttara married. And both of them were well, by that time when they got married, a subtle preparations of war had already begun. People meeting, like making alliances and asking for help of military. So it was very imminent that war is going to happen. And in the war, it was very clear that this war will be a very ghastly one. And lots and lots and lots and lots of warriors are going to be killed. So in spite of that, Uttara could have, means a lady's point of view, we can think is very logical, very normal. A lady is marrying a man who has 90% chance to be getting killed in few months. And even man will think, "Arey, let us finish the war. If I am safe and alive, I will marry you." Very proper thinking. Nothing wrong. Even suddenly, if lady thinks that way, it's absolutely no wrong. Like, I get married in 4 months, 90% chance you are going to be killed. Then let's wait. Let the war be over, then I will marry. From lady's point of view, it's absolutely okay. And even man's point of view, it's okay to think, let us get... But they got married. And Radhika Vallabh Prabhu was telling that why they got married, even after knowing that 90% or more chance is Abhimanyu is going to die in the war. Means anyone would be dying, not only Abhimanyu or everyone. Because both had a responsibility. They were thinking. The responsibility was to give a perfect, excellent next generation of king to the society. Uttara said, maybe I will become widow for my whole life and our married life will be only for a few months. But still, let me marry because within that I can do the service of giving the next generations of Kula as a king to the society. So she married and Abhimanyu also married. Both married just keeping this responsibility in mind of giving the next generation. Who is that? Parikshit Maharaj. And Abhimanyu died and Uttara was a widow for whole life, only married life of few months. A great challenge. She was also a great devotee. So is Abhimanyu's life a blessing? At the young age, when he was going to become prince, he was killed unjustly in the war with 7 warriors together, just married. Is it mercy of Krishna? Or is karma? Let's see further. And Parikshit Maharaj, his story is again unique. In the womb, he was protected by Krishna. Then he took birth. And when he was young, in one way he was orphaned because he did not have father. Again, he was born orphan. Parikshit Maharaj was born orphan like Pandavas. But he had grandparents. Parikshit Maharaj at least had grandparents. Pandavas did not have that. Chitravira, Vichitra had already left. Bhishma was there. So here he had grandparents who raised him. And when he became young, they left for Himalayas. And he became the king. He ruled, chastised Kali, everything, powerful king. And a small apparent mistake, he gets cursed. And die within 7 days. So all these 5 generations are so unique in Mahabharata. Unique ups and downs, unique challenges, unique curses. So unique problems, unique successes also. Parikshit could rule the Kali. Everything unique. And he got notice of 7 days, you are going to die at a ripe young age, when he had just become the king few years back, or a few months back. And he lifts his body. So what is real mercy? Yes, sometimes or many times. You see, if like Balaram Shakti Prabhu, Balaram Shakti Prabhu analyzed, will devotees' children be devotees? In one class, correct? He analyzed very nicely. So let us see. In these 5 cases of 5 generations of Pandavas, what if we say getting a kingdom is a mercy? Then Bhishma didn't get it. Pandu didn't get it. Pandu got it, but not for long. Abhimanyu didn't get it. If not getting is a mercy, then Pandavas got it. Parikshit got it for quite some time. Well, Pandavas more time. Or timely death means when you grow old and. Is that a mercy? Then only Bhishma and Pandavas got it. Pandu to some degree, but Abhimanyu and Parikshit didn't get it. Is wealth a mercy? They had some basic wealth, but not all could get the wealth of ruling the kingdom. Or what is the mercy? So yes, as we say, sometimes this material gains and profits can either be because of our karma, or can either be because of our mercy of Krishna, or can be combination of both. But that is not the highest mercy of Krishna in any way. Material gains and losses are not the highest mercy, or what you called, not curse, but unpleasantness of Krishna. Most probably they are happening because of our own karmic reactions. And today's shloka, if we see, if you analyze the words, Arjuna is not saying, my victory was Krishna's mercy. If you analyze the words, Arjuna is saying, by Krishna's merciful strength. So what is the difference between strength and the victory? Victory is the result. Strength is the means. So he is saying, yes, I was victorious. That is the result. But the means to become victorious was strength. So that way, here, Arjun is not giving the credit of victory to Krishna. Indirectly, that is happening. But he is giving the credit or mercy of what you call it. Credit. Arjun is giving the credit to Krishna by saying, my strength, which made me victorious, was Krishna's mercy, not my strength. Sometimes we say, I took the right decisions and I became a successful businessman. We can think in that way. Or I clicked the right buttons and I cracked something. Yes, you did that. But to do that, what an intelligence you required. So that credit is given by... So Arjuna's mood is to not say these material gains and losses are Krishna's mercy, because many times Arjuna also lost. So, did he say that time that this was not Krishna's mercy? No. He is giving credit of success to Krishna. I became successfully victorious because I got strength, and the strength was Krishna's mercy. So, not that I became victorious. We have to certainly understand the difference. Generally, we say Krishna's mercy because of material gains. But Arjuna is saying Krishna's mercy is that whatever I got gains, material gains, that was only because of Krishna's strength that he gave me. I cracked some complex question, that was only because of intelligence that Krishna has given me. I may sometimes be able to crack, sometimes not crack. But the credit always goes to Krishna. So that is here Arjuna's mood. He doesn't exactly saying, he can't, that material gains are Krishna's mercy, because many times in his life, his generation's life, and our life, not that every time we get the gains. Sometimes some people, they become Krishna conscious, having that illusion. Kya abhi sab achcha hi achcha hone wala hai. Jo bhi Krishna bhakt banega, uske jindagi mein, sab achcha. What does achcha means? Mere man ke anusar se hoega. See, we generally in a very neophyte stage, think, that if things happens by our as per our mental desires, if I want a job and I get a job, that is Krishna's mercy, the example which I gave in the beginning. And if I want to get rid of a job and Krishna, some of the circumstances it happens, that is Krishna's mercy. So generally, we take Krishna's mercy, we think immaturely when things happen as per our mental desires. But here, Arjuna is not telling that Krishna's mercy because I wanted to win and I won. So that is Krishna's mercy. So he's saying, no, I won because of Krishna's strength which he gave me mercifully. So credit is passing on. So I just made one sentence. Generally, when we are too fascinated, when we are too enamored by material desires, we scale the fulfillment of our desires with Krishna's grace. We already have material desires, and when they are successful, we equate that with Krishna's grace. But we have actually what Arjuna is saying, sometimes we will be successful, sometimes we will not be successful. We have to learn to be instruments in the hands of Krishna, accepting his will in the process. And if we become instrument to do something wonderful, then we give credit to. So yes, I may become successful materially. Why I became? Because I have some good strength, good fame, good name, good intelligence, good. So yes, then we know I become materially successful. And the only reason for this is I got some qualification, some strength, some intelligence, and that was Krishna's mercy. The credit goes to him, not me. So there are two points. One is we take that when our material desires are fulfilled, that is Krishna's grace. Sometimes it may happen, sometimes it may not happen. So when it doesn't happen, that is also Krishna's grace. But we don't understand that because it's not as per our mental desires. Similarly, it can go further. Sometimes when things happen as per our egoistic desires, there is little difference between mental desires and egoistic desires. When sometimes things may happen as per our egoistic desires, we may think that is Krishna's grace. And sometimes when things doesn't happen as per our egoistic desires, think, oh, so bad, this person is so bad, that person is so bad, that person is so bad, they didn't listen to me, and they are, basically when we are self-centered, that is egoistic-centered, we try to analyze everyone as per ego, everyone and everything, and mostly we want to put the blames to others for whatever bad happens. And whatever good happens, we want to take the credit when we are on the egoistic level. When we are on the mental level, we are just happy. Aisa ho gaya Krishna ki kripa. Prabhuji, Krishna na khush hai kya mere upar? Mera do subject reh gaya. That is mental desires, devotee thing. When egoistic desires, when things are happening as per our ego and our plan and our organization, then you think, oh, Krishna is merciful. Maine na aisa decision liya, aur phir aisa kiya, and yes, it happened that way. That is Krishna's mercy. And when we fail, or when someone hurts our ego, or someone disagrees with us, that is hurting our ego again in a different way. We think, he is wrong, that is wrong, Krishna is wrong, Guru is wrong, Prabhupada is wrong, devotees are wrong, universe is wrong, because things are not happening as per our egoistic inclination. But Arjuna is telling us that in all the situations, we should give credit to others. Sometimes devotees have some another misunderstanding. Actually, we don't understand what is the highest mercy of Krishna. One level of mercy of Krishna is when we get material desires fulfilled. But that may not always happen. Sometimes devotees, as I said, new devotees have some misconception. Ki abhi main jab kar raha hu, to mere jindagi mein sab materially achha hoga. It would have been fine. I don't know, it doesn't happen that way always. And my logical thought process doesn't allow me to think that it will happen that way. Sometimes the devotees feel they also have some, in association of devotees, because I'm there, ideally everything should be like Vaikuntha atmosphere. Kevala Ananda Kanda. But we are practicing Krishna consciousness in the material world. We should be aware of that. We will be having old age, birth, disease, death, which is the effect of material world. even though some of us may be pure devotees, and we are in material world in Kali Yuga, some of that effects will be there in devotee ascension also. So sometimes if there is some disagreement between two devotees or something like that, sometimes some arguments also, some devotees get confused. Aise kaise ho sakta hai bhai? But if you see Shastra, it happens. Highly advanced, pure devotees. Parvati Ma cursing Chitaketu Maharaj. Chitaketu Maharaj had a darshan of Sankarshan just now, means few months back. He performed sadhana, got darshan of Lord. Such an advanced pure devotee. And who can be less than Mother Parvati? And then they have some misunderstanding. Aise kaise ho sakta hai? Hota hai. Kaise ho sakta hai? Aap log batao. Par hota hai itna main dekh raha hu. And then Indramudra Maharaj, he cursed by Agastya Muni. Both are highly advanced personalities. Indramudra Maharaj, he became Gajendra and went back to Godhead. And as the Indramudra Maharaj also, he was spiritually minded. He had gone to the forest to perform sadhana, giving up the kingdom. Highly advanced. And Agastya Muni, again, one of the great souls, he cursed. It happened. Are aise kaise ho gaya? Misunderstanding. It happened. And Maharaj Parikshit, so many, if we say, Daksha cursing Lord Shiva, so it happens. In material world, things like that might happen. Certainly, they are not so pleasing, but it happens. We should also be aware of some reality. We should try to take care such situation doesn't happen, but they happen. They happen. So basically, the depth of our Krishna consciousness is that in all such situations which are not as per our mental expectation, not as per our egoistic expectation, a person can remain steady in his Krishna consciousness. And also like His Holiness Narayana Maharaj, he always, not always, but many times he has quoted this sentence from the Srimad Bhagavatam. A person's greatness, maybe you can correct the exact wording, is known by how he can tolerate provocating situations. So that is actually our greatness, and that is really Krishna's grace. So in that video which I was mentioning in the beginning, that duty was trying to say material gains and losses are as per our karma, and the real grace is when Krishna gives us chance to chant holy names, gives us chance to associate with devotees. That is Krishna's grace. Whether you are cursed by Parvati to become Vrutrasur from Chitaketu Maharaj, that may be Krishna's grace or not. But as a Vrutrasur, you are remembering Krishna. That is Krishna's grace. As an Indramudra, you can be cursed. Whether we don't know, that is Krishna's grace or not. But as Gajendra, he remembered Krishna. That is Krishna's grace. In a higher level than that. So, and another thing, general tendency in this world is, if anything happens against our mind, ego or body, we try to blame others. But we see Pandavas, not only Pandavas, all the five generations, from Bhishma, Pandu, Pandavas, Abhimanyu, Parikshit, none of them ever blamed others for their own sufferings. They never blamed. Oh, but in a neophyte situations, we blame. Because of this devotee is happening like that, that devotee misbehaved with me, that person, no, Pandavas they tolerated. Now, we have to move to some higher mercy. I just spoke. What is the higher mercy of Krishna? When he gives us chance to chant holy names, hear katha, there is some more higher mercy than that. I'll come to that. This is also higher, but some more higher mercy. Before we going ahead, actually, Krishna, if we are in the right consciousness, every second of our life, every incident of our life. Actually, this in the CC it is mentioned, Jai Dvait Maharaj always quotes, A bhalo, A manda, A sab manera brahma. In CC it is mentioned, Chaitanya Charitamrit, that this is good and this is bad is all brahma of the mind. Similarly, sometimes we think this is Krishna's mercy, I got good marks, or what it may be. In one way, it can be also very low level of Krishna consciousness or thinking Krishna's mercy. Real mercy is when we get chants to associate with devotees, etc., etc. But there can we can go further. Actually, the more we are free from material desires, which are on the body level, the more we are free from mental desires, which are on the mental level, the more we are free from egoistic desires, which are on the egoistic level, then only we can see that Krishna is so merciful in my life. Every second He is merciful. Not He is merciful only when I go to get good marks. That becomes actually a useless thing in our, not is useless, irrelevant thing for an advanced devotee. Good marks, bad marks, good job, bad. These things will keep on happening. If you are a gross star in material world, you have to try to have some better job and business. Not that we should not try, but the results they become irrelevant. We should keep on doing effort, our duty. We don't get affected. Certainly higher Krishna's grace is when we get chance to stay amongst devotees. Actually, in all the incidences that happen in our life, please, I'm not so great, but I'm just telling something which touches me. In all the incidents that happen in our life, we can call it plus, minus, positive, negative, good, bad. Actually, if we silence the voices of mind, ego and bodily desires, and when we can see the voice of Krishna in every incident in our life, then we will be so grateful in our life that Krishna is so loving. He is doing so many wonderful things for me every second. But we can see that and understand that only when the sounds and voices of our bodily desires, mental desires, egoistic desires are silenced. When those sounds are loud, then we cannot see that Krishna's grace in every second. And when we can see Krishna's grace in every second, just think, if we can experience, see, Krishna is so loving. Everything that's happening in my life, not theoretically, but practically, you can experience everything in your life. And you can see how that is Krishna's love only meant to make you more Krishna conscious. What is Krishna's love? To make you more Krishna conscious. If you can not only theoretically see, you can see that through body, through mind, through intelligence and through ego. Means when all these desires are free, then you can see. Then your life will be, no one can remove you from Krishna consciousness. Your life will be so joyful, so wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. Everything is best. Krishna is so merciful. Generally, an advanced devotee, he will be in this consciousness. And for him to be in this consciousness, every situation, he will see from Krishna's point of view. And not from my mind point of view, my body point of view, my intelligence point of view, and my egoistic point of view. But still, we are not that advanced. Generally, anything and everything we'll see from my body, my ego, my mind, my intelligence point of view. So Krishna has given us a wonderful way by which we can see every incident through Krishna's point of view. But we by default see every incident by my mind, my intelligence point of view. And what is that wonderful way? To take the opinion of other devotees on every incident. Because every incident we will see tinged by our body, mind, intelligence. But other devotees who can see the thing neutrally, we'll see I am right, he is wrong. But for that, we have to be a little humble. To understand that I have to give up my opinion and hear other devotees' opinion. And slowly when we learn that, at least via the medium of other devotees, why this Prabhupada said, even though there is no pure devotee in association of, Prabhupada said that, even if there is no pure devotee in ISKCON, we should still stay in association of devotees. Because Krishna can use other devotees to give us the right guidance. But we have to set aside our mind, intelligence and ego. And humbly take guidance from devotees. Prabhuji, mere khayal se aise aise hua, aur isme aise aise hai, mere ko aise bura laga, achha laga. But you tell your opinion, neutral opinion. And certainly that good chances that their opinion is actually Krishna's opinion. And our opinion is tinged by our mind, ego and what it may be. So generally in all incidences, sometimes pleasing to our mind, sometimes pleasing to our ego, or sometimes displeasing, Krishna wants to teach us. Krishna wants to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. But we can see that only when, as I said, when all the voices are of all these mind, ego, intelligence are stopped, we can see Krishna's. So, just 1 minute. Then we can see Krishna's love in all things all around us. And we can be full of gratitude in Krishna consciousness. So, just to summarize and end, one way of Krishna's mercy, which is confusing, maybe yes or maybe not, maybe other devotees can share after my one or two sentences, is when they get a job or something like that. Higher mercy of Krishna is when we get chance to hear and chant. But I would say, one of the highest mercy, may not, there can be something higher. Highest mercy of Krishna is when we have the right attitude, right consciousness while chanting and hearing. Or else, like most of us, or at least myself, I am chanting and hearing, but my attitude or consciousness is tinged by my mental desires, my egoistic desires, my intellectual understanding, and that is not exactly Krishna conscious. It is Krishna conscious, but not exactly Krishna conscious. When we can chant and hear 24/7, 365, exactly in Krishna conscious way, in the consciousness in which Krishna wants us to be, that can be the more higher mercy of Krishna. Anyway, I am 5 to 7 minutes over time. I thank all of you for tolerating and hearing patiently. Whatever something little bit I could speak, I spoke on this topic of Arjun saying Krishna's mercy, full strength, I could defeat those enemy soldiers. Better than questions you can ask me personally, but I would like, if anyone, all advanced devotees, if anyone has some comments on this, some more clarifications, or if I have not spoken rightly, please, Rasikacharya Prabhu, or I don't know, anyone, not only those whose name. Any comments, Prabhuji? Please. 2 minutes. I am taking extra time. But if you have any comments, please. Questions, to baad mein lenge. Comments, yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for the very thoughtful and thought-provoking class. I'm grateful to you. I was just thinking that, you know, it is better for a devotee or a non-devotee to think that everything that is happening is Krishna's mercy. Because even if he thinks that in his whatever he is getting good in this life is because of his previous karma. So in his previous life, he was able to do that karma because of Krishna's mercy again. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, he is the ability in man, he is the strength of the strong, yeah, he is the intelligence of the intelligent. So all the resources, facilities is being provided by Krishna himself, right? We cannot take the credit of the borrowed plumes, as Prabhupada says. So if you see, the ultimate reason is Krishna's mercy. The remote cause may be, you know, maybe our previous karma or whatever, but the ultimate cause can be Krishna's mercy.
Just one sentence comment. I'll add, sorry. That's correct, because Krishna is a creator, controller, enjoyer, not, but whatever it may be, proprietor. So what point you said, but this consciousness, one is taking it. When taking everything is happening is Krishna's mercy. But one is understanding Krishna's grace, exactly what Krishna intends to teach us, to tell us, or to how he intends to make us advance in Krishna consciousness. So understanding Krishna's minds makes our mind full of gratitude. Till that time, okay, it's Krishna's grace. I fell down, had a fracture. But in that, something wonderful is hidden from Krishna's message. That when we learn to understand by subsiding our individual thoughts and hearing from devotees, and when we can do that in every incident in life, then life is, we can just be so grateful and so happy that Krishna is so loving. He is personally taking care of me, not taking care of me just via my karma. That is just a means that's happening. And yes, as you said, everything is Krishna's mercy or Krishna's provisions, because he is the creator of this world. So he has to do, one way he has to do that. Anyway, I think we'll end here officially because we are already a bit over time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai.